is that who we are today, who you are today, who I am today, is the sum total. Make you feel bad for a minute. Actually, I think we should feel great because we're all here at the family church this morning. So you made some decisions, you made some choices that have you here today. But in general, in your life, everything that is a part of your life, a lot of it is what you've chosen. And you might have thought, huh, well, maybe I didn't choose this, this, and this. Some things come along the way, some surprises. We get some curveballs thrown at us by life. But a lot of the things that are in our life are because of choices we've made along the way. And so I want to encourage you that the choices you make today are going to affect who you are tomorrow. And we can change that trajectory. If there's any area in your life that is flatlined or is in a bad spot, you can make good decisions, godly decisions, Christ-led, Holy Spirit-powered decisions to take you in a different direction. That was my challenge to, and my word of encouragement. Anytime I spoke in the juvenile detention center, I've shared that before, because it's a true, consistent message of hope. What do you tell somebody who's locked up? And especially young people that are going to be out, you know, in the next day or the next few months, start making different decisions. And those are going to start to point you in a different direction. Well, what we choose today and tomorrow will determine our future. Last week, or actually 2 weeks ago, we looked at the choice of purpose over popularity and all the different ways that we sell out our purpose, what God has given us to do, our plan that He has for us. All the ways we sell it out in little and big ways to choose the approval of others, or to choose somebody else's goals for you, or to just choose your own approval. So many times we just want our own way, right? And so I probably shouldn't tell you next week's title because you might be too scared to come. Look at your neighbor and say, chicken. Next week's title is the choice of discipline over regret. Ah, yes. Today, and this one's real similar. These are all ones that are intended to challenge us. These are ones that should make us better Christians when we walk out the door, because they're challenging how we think, how we choose, all the little decisions. Today, we're going to look at the choice of surrender over control. Do any of you know, or maybe you might be married to a control freak? I think I am, but then my wife also is, so we're kind of even in that regard, because I will look at her like she is absolutely ridiculous about many of the things that she gets upset about, and then I find myself doing some pretty silly things myself. We should be choosing surrender over control. Everybody has at least one area, and most of us, if we're honest, we have many areas where it's real important for us to have the reins. And sometimes this can be because we've been hurt in an area. So maybe somebody, for example, somebody that grew up maybe poor, they will work every hour that's available to them. And they will really maybe be driven a little bit more materialistically. Not just to have something better than somebody else, but in this case, to have what they didn't have as a kid, right? Or they're more driven to provide for their kids things that they didn't have, or something like that. So sometimes it's because of something that's been done to us. If you've been hurt really bad in a relationship, you keep real close guard of your heart with future relationships. And you usually only interact with people that you have the advantage over, or something like that. You catch yourself playing those kind of games. So areas like work, relationships, health, finances. With work, been around some people like this. And I can be like this, but I really feel the Lord's just anointing to release people into different areas. But have you ever tried to do something for somebody and they'll show you how to do it, and then they'll keep showing you how to do it, and then they'll keep showing you how to do it, and you're like, hey, you know, and just do it, you know? Or, you know, they'll show it to you and you've done it a bunch, and they'll still come over and go, well, this is, you know, they just keep, it's like, it's not to their specifications, right? And so they like to be in control, my way or the highway, right? And then do it right, or I'll do it myself. And so planning a church is fun because, it can be fun. And so God has helped me learn how to do a few different things. And my mentor, Conan, Pastor C3, who sponsored us, he said it's very important because pastors tend to be really, really uptight people about how they like things and whatever else. They said, how you know you should turn something over? Because you want it to be done well, right? And so that's the fear. I want it to be done well. He said, as soon as you think somebody can do it 80% as well as you, you got to let them go. You can't just throw it out the window and just let anything fly, right? And so it's this thing where you got to turn stuff over. You got to let it go. I have to let things go. What does this look like at home? Like I said, these weren't things that Danielle told me before we got married. She vacuums a lot. She'll clean up while people are still there. And I tell her that's really rude because you're making her company feel unwelcome. And she's like, I don't care, you know. There's dirt on the floor. I have a vacuum cleaner. We have electricity. I'm going to vacuum right now. And so we're actually trying to find a home for a different story. But the dog that she got me for a present, she's not here today, so I can use the story. Well, it's a lab husky mix that sheds about 5 pounds of white fur a day. And we picked out dark wood flooring that I put in 6 months ago. That I loved that flooring. I hate the flooring now because it shows everything, right? And so I think she's crazy how much she vacuums and that she likes everything to be in a certain order. And then I find myself out mowing and I'm constantly correcting the angle I take so that my stripes all line up, right? Yeah, I got problems. What about with people? I think sometimes we really like to control the people in our life. We tend to micromanage. It's one thing if you're micromanaging your lawn stripes, but when that starts to bleed over into trying to manipulate people, and sometimes that looks like sometimes even threatening. Well, everyone's got their thing, and I'll dog on myself for a little bit. So I'm in here before church. I come in usually 8 o'clock or earlier, and I set up the chairs for about 3 years at the church we came for. I used to be the janitor there before I was the youth pastor years ago, and so I set up the chairs. I like the chairs to be really nice. And so even when people help me set up the chairs, I'm usually kind of trying to sneak and straighten them after they've straightened them because it's not really how I like it. And so I straighten the chairs, and you've all messed them up. And so if you could all please get up real quick, I'd like to adjust them. But no, seriously. And then the other thing that I really felt bad about, because I think Justin and Kristen, they were in a great mood. They were starting, and I went over and talked to them in the morning about the kids area. And the only problem was all that was on my mind at that moment was trash bags. Because it really bothers me when someone puts a giant kitchen-sized bag into this little bitty trash bag, just trash can. Does that bother anybody else? Are there any more normal people out there? Yes. So here's this huge, like a trash can should hide trash, and instead it looks like this overflow of plastic because it has a very huge bag in it. Those of you that are shaking your head at me, I'm the normal one. You are the one that needs help. Right. Don't we all do this about different things? We want control of things. One of our key verses today, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, says this. It says, trust. Let me say that again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to God, and he will make your paths straight. That is a verse that just, when you're feeling crazy, when you're feeling like everything's spinning out of control, we got to get back to that place of choosing surrender over control. Trust. Because here's the cycle of fear. Listen to this, and we're all very, very familiar with it. The more we try to control, the more we are afraid of losing control. And the more we are afraid, the more we try to control. The more we're afraid of losing control, and on and on and on. So the more you try to wrap your hands around it, the more you try to grab onto how things are happening in your life, it builds up this fear. And you try to grab onto anything. And so you're happy just to be able to pick out the clothes you want to wear that morning, right? You just, let me control something, right? And so you just grasp onto things. Well, there's a story about control gone bad in the Bible. And I'm going to read you part of it because it's really part of a huge story. It's about a husband and a wife named Abram and Sarai. And we know them better if you've been around Bible stories much, or maybe you never have, but you've probably heard the name Abraham more than you've ever heard the name Abram. And you've heard of his wife's name as being Sarah than Sarai. That's because God changed their names. That's a whole other message for a different day. But before that moment in their life, they were known as Abram and Sarai. And like us, he had a history, well documented in the Bible, of taking situations into his own hands instead of trusting God. And like I say about all these characters in the Bible, I love how genuine our Bible is. I love how true and how full of hope God's Word is, because it's full of people that do things a lot like us, right? So Abraham gets this blessing, kind of the blessing in the whole Bible. It's like, nations are going to come from you. You are going to be the father of my people. I mean, it's just awesome. He has this relationship with God. He gets close to him. In order to have a nation come from you, you have to have a son. And him and his wife had no children. And they wanted children. And then they get this promise of many children. Well, that sounds good. And to their credit, they waited a while. The years went by. Lots of years. But listen to this. It took too long, and Sarah and Abraham took control of the situation. Genesis chapter 16, 1 through 4. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her." And Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal. So Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, gave her to Abram as his wife. This happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. So Abram slept with Hagar, and she became pregnant. This is in the Bible. Have you ever noticed that things get messier when we take control? But we still do, right? Things get really, really messy when we step in and play God in a situation. Listen to how God does things. Genesis 21, verses 1 and 2. This is later. Listen to how simple. It says, "The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant, and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time that God said it would." Now, to be fair to them, they didn't get the time part of the deal until about a year before the baby was born. And as it said, they were old aged at that point. But do you hear how simple God does things? It wasn't in their timing, but it just says, as God promised, they were married. She became pregnant, and they had a baby. Wow. And Sarah goes through this whole concoction of, I can't, here's my servant girl. Now, this was years later, but see how God does things? Now for the control gone bad part. Are you ready for it? Do you know that this one decision to step in and play God still affects you and me today? Some of you know this story because you know the Bible. This has caused chaos for centuries because Ishmael is the son that was born of Hagar. Well, Ishmael is the father of the Palestinians, the father nation of Muhammad. And Isaac, when we read passages in the Bible, it says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, Isaac is a patriarch of the Jewish and Christian faiths. So both, if you didn't know this, but Islam and Christianity and the Jewish faith all claim Abraham as Father Abraham. Isn't that crazy? When that light bulb went off in my head, I don't know what year it was, but that blew me away. So thanks, Abraham. Thanks, Sarah, right? Good job, right? For choosing control over surrender. Now this is, I mean, that's a big deal. And you could even go to Eve walking through the garden. They get everything. They have paradise on earth. And what does the enemy say to her? God is holding out on you. You need to take control of your life. Right? So every time we choose control over surrender, it goes way bad. What are you trying to control? Well, I've worked with young people, and just as a pastor, I watch people, and one of the biggest areas I see people take control of would be their relationships. Why? Because we don't want to wait, right? We run out of hope for godly friends. We run out of hope for a godly spouse. I mean, I've heard someone tell me this, say, do you know that there are no good Christian single guys my age? I heard that. And so what happens? You go across the bridge, right? And maybe some of you are sitting here today and that's part of your story. God can redeem anything. But what's his plan? What's his plan for my three kids? What was his plan for me? He wanted me to walk with somebody that was loving Jesus right from the beginning. And I've seen God change endless households from the inside out. Like I said, it's probably some of your testimony today. I'm not here to throw stones. But what I am here to encourage us is that every time we choose control over surrender, there becomes collateral damage from any time we go outside of God's plan, right? And so it's up to us to wait for him. And so when somebody takes control from God, it's like saying, I've got this. This has taken way too long. There's no good options for me. I've got this. What about finances? One of our just kind of our core things that we do here on Sunday morning is that it's my promise that teaching on the tithe, on giving, and even making needs known for money as they come up, that it will never be abused. And there's not going to be any high pressure kind of thing. And that's part of why we do the offering over here. I'll teach on giving. It is absolutely essential to the freedom of your heart to learn giving and to learn tithing. I absolutely believe that. But I want to be so careful with how it's taught because of how it's been perceived in our culture coming from the church. But I can remember times in my life, and I was taught to tithe, and I've taught my kids to tithe, and you had that dollar, and man, that dollar as a kid, oh, I love that dollar. And the thought of breaking it into change and putting part of that in the offering plate, this is my dollar. I mean, I'm real excited about this dollar, right? And then, so there's the first part of just even understanding, wanting to give it away. And then where I believe many believers are stuck at is, I want to, but I can't. That's what I'll hear. The same thing with a young person dating. I would love to marry a Christian, but they're not out there. You see what, we basically said this isn't possible. And so we've pulled all trust in that category, or we've pulled a good deal of it away from the hand of the living God. And so we say with our finances, we said, it's okay, God, I've got this. I've got this, right? And I can tell you, every time that I've been faithful and we continue to trust God financially, it's amazing what he's done with so little, okay? What about at work? I can remember being so frustrated getting passed up either for promotions that I was not just being like big-headed, but like I deserved that one. You ever been there? You've been passed up for something that you really, and not just because you and your mom think so, but like you really, you really deserved it, right? Sometimes you need some outside perspective, like, no, you really stink, you know, but Don't just ask your mom. You're great, dear. I can't imagine why they didn't make you president. You show up whenever you want to. You wear clothes. I mean, you're doing such a good job. Right? But so what happens if we don't trust God where we're worked? Then I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to work. I'm going to claw. I'm going to do what I've got to do to get the attention I need. I'm going to push my stuff to the front. I'm going to maybe even push somebody else's stuff to the side. You start to fall into this trap of, I'm going to get mine. God, don't worry about this. I've got this. What about with our spouses? I'm going to keep hurting your feelings if that's okay. What about with our spouses? Because as we all know, there's a secret list that we each have about the other person that we would really, really, really like to change. Danielle's list for me is actually pretty long. It's not a list. It's a notepad, you know. And so we have our options. We can choose surrender. We can choose to pray for our spouse. We can choose to just bless them and bless them and bless them. Or we can choose to try to control those habits and try to fix them ourselves. Don't worry about it, God. I've got this. What about with our kids? We have this helicopter parent syndrome in our nation and really around the world where it's like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure this little person doesn't ever fail, or get hurt, or is ever told anything negative. And so I'm going to spend every breath and ounce of my being to protect this little bubble for Junior, right? They've got knee pads for knee pads. I mean, you got to wear a helmet in the house. I mean, right? Don't worry about my kids, God. I've got this. What are we trying to control today? For me, it's that list of same things. I've got my goals. I've got things that I believe that God has really given me to do. He's given me the calling as a parent, as a husband, as a pastor. And so these are important things. But I try to control them. What about your schedule? What about your coworkers? What about your image? What about your future? We need to choose to surrender rather than control. Got three questions today that will help us choose surrender over control. Are you ready for them? These might be worth getting the back of your Connect card out if you want to scribble a couple things. This may help you and may help the people in your life like you a little bit more. I'm being funny, but these are all things that we deal with. First question, is it worth my concern? Is it worth my concern? Kind of like me with the trash bags. Is it really worth my concern to fuss with trash bags a half hour before a Sunday morning service starts? No. That's the short answer. You don't even need to tell me that one. I realized that like later in the day. I'm like, I was complaining about trash bags before the service to Justin and Kristen. They must think that they need to find a new pastor. You know, is it worth my concern? And it might just even be the timing and things like else. It might be something you got to do, you know. But is it worth my worry? Is it worth my anxiety? Something in our house that happens every morning is that my son really only likes to wear three different shirts. Does anybody else have a kid like that? He refuses to wear jeans, which I love jeans. And so that I really don't understand that one. But he really likes only three shirts. They all say Nike somewhere on them because that's part of the rules as an 11-year-old boy these days. And he would prefer, if he could get away with it, to wear the same shirt over and over again. I mean, he would be very content to put the same shirt on the next day and maybe even sleep in it in between, right? I mean, even the dads are cringing a little bit on that one, maybe. But we'll have this moment of almost every morning of just anxiety over what the boy's wearing out the door. And part of me just wants to say, guess what all the other 11-year-old boys are wearing? The same stupid shirt they wore yesterday. And they don't care. So at the end of the day, I just want my kid to not be the stinky kid, you know? Like, let's just set the standard, real doable, and just say, have you showered within the last 72 hours, and have you brushed your teeth today? That's kind of where I'm like, that's entry level for me. Is it worth my concern? Many of our anxieties are over things that simply don't matter. Will it matter tomorrow? Will it matter a month from now? Will it matter 50 years from now? Will wearing the same shirt 2 days in a row affect him getting into a college later or getting a good job later? No. Now, wearing the same shirt over and over again when he's, you know, 20-something might affect him getting married. But what if it is worth our concern? Because many things are. We all have things that really matter in our life. We have to ask the next couple questions. Is it mine to control? Is it something that I should do something about? This is a big problem for me, and I'm just kind of dogging myself here, but I was pretty sure that I was determined to be like a policeman for all things to all people. Like, they really should know that this is offensive to people, you know? And so I'm doing them a favor by letting them know that this should be done differently, you know? And so I'm gonna be the guy because I'm a good guy, and, you know, right? Is this something that I should do something about? But sometimes the answer is yes. How many of you know that God won't do everything for you? We had a whole series about that, about how he sent the water, but he said, dig some ditches, right? You need to have a way to handle what I'm going to pour out on you. God wants us to do some things ourselves. Here's the deal. There's a big difference between surrendering control and relinquishing responsibility. Some of you need to hear that again. There's a big difference between surrendering control and relinquishing responsibility. What do I mean? Let's talk about our health, because I'll make myself feel bad. Lord, please bless this Twinkie. Or actually, let me correct that. Lord, please bless these Twinkies. Lord, may they not cause my body to get any plumper than it already is. And Lord, may I get the strength that I need from these Twinkies to do your will, O Lord. Lord, please remove the calories from, right? We're not talking about relinquishing responsibility. We're talking about surrendering control. So in health, that means that I would treat my body the way God would want me to treat it. That's what that means. Ouch. How about finances? Lord, thank you for my beautiful new car. Now, how are you going to pay for it? Because I got payments, Lord. And I love the new car, but I don't love that $500 a month, Lord. And you gave me this car. Hello? Right? We're talking about surrendering control. God, how can I get my finances to look like kingdom finances, where God's first and I'm able to be generous to people? That's what I want personally. And so we've got things in, we've got a really great opportunity in this church. We'll be doing Dave Ramsey's financial peace again sometime in the winter. Go through it. If you take 1% of what it teaches, it's going to affect your finances positively in a godly way. It's not just about the money. It's about your heart, as always. What about relationships? Lord, please send me a wife that doesn't care if I bathe or have a job. And Lord, may she have an Xbox One, because I have the PS4, and so if she had the Xbox One, and we'd have both, and that would just be a marriage made in heaven. Lord, please send me. Put the Twinkie down. Cut the credit cards up. Get off the couch. If it's yours to control, then go for it. God's given you the wisdom and the resources to handle a lot of stuff. Right? Question number 3. Is it for God alone to control? Some things are. I've chatted about this story a couple times, and I'll try just to touch on the main points. But near the end of the time at our last position, my pastor who I'd had for years. He's been here. He's preached before. He's really an awesome guy. I'll take a quick rabbit trail since they're not here today. I didn't want to embarrass him because he's a private. He's just kind of a quiet guy. But Dan Kelso and his family usually sit over here. He's been a Whitehall cop for years, and he's moved along. He was promoted to deputy chief of the Whitehall Police Department this last week, which is pretty cool. So, anyways, if you see him, congratulate him. But his dad is my pastor for years. He retired, and so we had a new pastor, good guy, but we didn't know each other yet. And a family in the church became obsessed with getting me fired. That's the short of it. My pastor knew better that I grew up with. New guy on the block. He didn't know anything. Starts to hear that I'm not doing a good job, this and that. Goes further along, and all of a sudden I hear about a meeting that happened at the church where they tried to get as many other parents to come and share their dirt on me, which, I mean, I've probably left a kid at a rest stop every now and then. But, you know, besides that, I did a really good job. I did have to go back to a ski place because we drove away without a kid, but it was short. But I mean, things like I wasn't teaching the Bible enough and not loving kids. I mean, things that were just not, I mean, they just weren't true. You know, anybody could think I could do something differently or something better. That's fine. But things that weren't true. And so I hear about this lynch mob and trying to get people to all stack their stories and take them to the pastor and all this stuff. Do you know how badly, not only did I want to physically hurt somebody, but how badly, I mean, I'd been at that church since I was 10 years old. I knew every elder. I knew every kid. I knew everybody. Do you know how badly I wanted to go with all of my own ways of, you know, trying to get people on my side and to do a competing jury, you know, I wanted to start getting people riled up in my defense. Danielle did too. She was really upset. Do you know what we were told to do by my pastor that had retired? It's not good. I really wasn't happy about this. He said, just pray. He said, stay close to Tim. That was the new pastor. He said, just keep doing your job and wait. That's not fun. I was ready. We watched. It took a long time. It took over a year of stuff sorting out. And God saw us through. And the youth group was healthier after it was. The church was healthier after it was. Danielle and I were wounded from it, but we were stronger from going through it, right? And so we had a choice in that situation of control over surrender. And if I would have chosen control, I probably would have lost my job because I would have gone to Nastyville, right? God, this is getting worse, not better. I want to fight. Is it for God alone? Healing? Salvation? Changing another person's heart? There's only so much we can do here, people. I can share the gospel with somebody. I can take some medicine. I can pray for somebody who's sick. I can encourage somebody when I see good behavior, and I can maybe, if I have the opportunity in a healthy way, correct bad behavior. But can I heal somebody? Can I save anybody? Can I change another person's heart? Those are for God alone. And he says to us today, I've got this. Listen to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The need for control is one of the great lies that we have to deal with. And I'm praying the Holy Spirit will begin to break that in us today. We fight for control because we think that it is the way to peace. That's why many people don't just want control just to, some people are power hungry, I guess, but I think for most people, a decision to choose control is because you just want it under control. I want to not worry about that. I want peace in that area. So I'm going to do what it takes so that that area will stop stressing me out. That's really what we're doing. But the problem with that is that we're the ones that think we have to do that to bring peace to our own life. We've pulled it away from God. So we fight for control because we think it is the way to peace, but God's truth has shown us today that choosing control is actually choosing anxiety. Because as soon as you decide that you're the one to worry about it, you worry about it. And if it's something you're really worried about, it's never really enough. So if you obsess over having enough money in the bank, whether you grew up poor or otherwise, I can tell you right now, there will never be enough money in the bank. If you've been hurt by a previous marriage or a parent as a kid, and you try to control and really be careful in all of your relationships and you try to keep them just right, those walls you have up are going to keep you from intimacy with everyone. And so every time we take that step of control to try to have peace in an area, we've actually invited anxiety because we are so concerned about it. This says, present your concerns to God, and the peace of God comes in. Notice how the peace of God, it's really not something that you sense until you've, it's always there. It's always made available to us, but until we actually claim it, we don't have it. And so the peace of God, and it says it transcends all understanding. You're not even going to get it. But that peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what I want. God's word has shown us today that choosing surrender is the only real way to peace. Can we pray this morning? Father God, with just my simple stories that are funny, but God, they're also so true of all the ways that we try to hold on to control. And God, for so many of us, it's just because we want peace. We want peace in our finances. We want peace in our relationships. We want peace at work. We want peace. We want peace. Father God, would you forgive us for daring to think that we could bring peace to ourselves? Your word says that we're born without peace even between us and you. So how on earth could we bring peace to ourselves? We're an anxious bunch, God. We like to worry. We like to control. If you're willing to take a step of trust in an area that God is showing you today, you just receive that this morning? Receive the peace of God by placing that concern. Maybe you've done it 1,000 times, but let's do it again. Place that concern or concerns. Give them to the only person that can actually do anything about them. Father God, I thank you for that peace. God, I thank you that we can give you our concerns, that we can present our anxieties to you. Father God, I thank you that through your wisdom, we would know the things that really aren't worth us getting too upset about. Father God, the things that you've given us, the resources to take care of, God, I pray that you would help us to walk those out with the strength and resources you've already given. But God, that we would be careful with the things that are for you alone to control. That we would begin to pray for our spouses, that we would begin to pray for our children. We begin to pray for our bosses, that we begin to pray for the sick. And that we would trust you and you alone to do what only you can do. If you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus, basically we all start separated from God. And if you're like me, you come to a place in the road where you realize you can't control your life. And you shouldn't control your life. If you're ready to give God control of your life today, would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you. Father God, we thank you that we can trust you to lead us. We thank you that you love us so much to know everything that we need. Hear our prayers today, Father. Set us free. Help us to choose surrender over control. Amen. Can we stand and worship? If you need prayer for anything this morning, grab somebody that will agree with you and don't walk through life alone on some things. And then also, before you leave, if you missed out on last week, and make sure you get a t-shirt your size. They're all stuck in the back. And just so excited about what God is doing here.
You brought me this far, so why would I question you now? You have provided, so why would I start to doubt? Never been stranded. Can have it forever. All my dreams.
Father God, we thank you for this word. Father, an encouraging word. Because anything that we will surrender to you on, anything that we will trust you in, Father God, that releases the power of heaven in that area. So, Father God, would we rather choose to control with just our little bitty selves? Or would we surrender to let the peace of the river of God flood that part of our lives? Father God, help us to be a people that choose surrender over control. Help us to be a people full of love and peace, God, that we would be able to share your peace and your hope with somebody else this week. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your word of truth this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.